Go.
Genesis 49:10.
I got it.
Numbers 21:18.
I got it.
Numbers 24:17.
Got it.
I got it.
Okay. Who's got it?
Joyce.
Joyce got it. Okay. Esther 4:11.
I got it.
Esther 5:2.
I got it. I can do it.
Okay, Esther 4:8.
I can do that one.
All right. Jeremiah 48:17.
Got it.
I got it.
Okay, and here's a twofer. Ezekiel 19:11 and Ezekiel 19:14.
14?
Yeah. It's Ezekiel 19, verse 11 and verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Jenny Bell?
Here.
There you are. You want that one, baby?
Yeah, which one?
Ezekiel 19:11 and Ezekiel 19, verse 14.
Sure.
Okay. Bar.
Did you want to?
Yes, we want to do.
Okay.
That you're first.
Right.
Bart. Bartholomew.
Might have gone to bed.
Lord, suffering cats. Well, then it is time to go to work, then.
Hey, Sasha, isn't Esther supposed to be your new playground?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's what this is about. She stirred it up. Are you on the road, big boy?
I'm in my bed.
Well, get your lucky box or something, and you do Matthew 27:29. We'll work your butt. By the way, have you been on the scales lately?
I don't have scales.
Well, you are 12 pounds less than you were.
Fuck, I ought to be. I haven't been eating.
Well, we know it. But you are 12 pounds less than you were pretty recently.
That's a lot.
12 pounds, that ain't a lot.
Nah. He eats that in one sitting if he's hungry.
It'd be a lot to me.
Yeah.
But you say Matthew what? 20...
Matthew 27:29.
Did you want to do Hebrews 1:8 first?
That's first. That's what we meant when we said you're first, yes.
Okay, are you done now?
Is everybody ready to get everybody together so you can hear and engage and engage?
Yes.
I'm ready.
No, Bob's ready. The girls are nervous.
His hands are washed.
Are the hands washed? Yeah, we're not going to listen to scriptures with Bob's nasty hands. They're sticky. I can't have that. Okay, go.
Okay, Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the of thy kingdom. And I got the definition for righteous because that was very interesting. And it's acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, a morally right or justified. We don't need. And Ion changed the word in that definition of moral law to moral code.
Reading Hebrews 8? I'm reading something different
Hebrews
than what you
1,
said.
Hebrews 1, verse 8.
Right. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so they're taking their throne. No showing a physical representation of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Genesis 49:10.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Shiloh. You're right. We're saying okay. Shiloh. That's a bit interesting, isn't it? That Judah will hold the scepter. It will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of one to whom it belongs.
This is Kohathanite stuff.
The one whom all nations will obey.
This Kohathanite
like
stuff?
No,
lockdown Connie rule?
This is lockdown Connie rule. That's exactly
yeah.
what we were just fixing to say.
The white stone. But is that would be that the Kohathanite
inference?
Yeah.
Okay, Numbers 21:18.
So someone went, what? So we should answer this. That you, Barbara, went, what?
What is that?
We went, what? When we were saying Kohathanite.
I asked about the white a couple weeks ago.
All right.
You asked about what?
21:18. Ready?
Okay, we ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Numbers, okay, the princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it. By the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matana. Is that right?
Get King James, darling. They didn't give you the
that
rule.
That doesn't make sense.
Get King James.
I don't have King. Well, anyway, this is the King James version.
Yeah, that is King James.
Okay, then read it again.
The princes digged the well. Now this is 21:18. Okay, Numbers, right?
Numbers.
Okay, the princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matana.
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 That's Axiom Water?
Yes.
What does that mean? What is...
No, we did it last week.
Water? Oh, sorry.
Axiom Water is the water in the Garden of Eden. So we're talking
okay.
about the lockdown Connie rule, then the creation of Axiom Water.
What's Connie yeah. rule?
Oh, Carolyn. Carolyn's a big shit. Carolyn gets to be interviewed by Barb Walters or something like that.
No, no, no. She has Joy Behar removed.
Yeah.
No, Carolyn refuses to be interviewed by Barbara Walters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
12.
Let's try this one this way. Sing of this well which princes dug, which great leaders hallowed out with their scepters and staves. Then the Israelites left the wilderness and proceeded through Matana. That may help you a little bit. Okay, lockdown Connie, drink me up like a fool, Dobbs. Now, Numbers 24:17.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth.
There you go. Now, there's the new civilization. And y'all brought this up about the orb and the scepter, so that's why you're getting it. So now you're going to come into Queen Esther, Esther 4:11. Oh, notice the Moab.
4:8. Did you want to do 4:8 first, Dion?
There is no 4:8. There's 4:11.
There's Esther chapter 4, verse 8. That's what you said, 8
all the kings.
And 11.
That's 8:4.
I have 5:2.
You want 4:11, Esther's?
4:11.
Yeah.
4:11 is all the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
apparently
so. This is
fine.
You're laying out the details of what I got at when I announced Bob and Connie Rule on cash flow today. We own the earth.
It's about damn time, don't you think,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, about time, I confessed. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Esther 5:2.
And so it was when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter.
Mm-hmm.
Very sexy.
Interesting. Okay, now Esther 8:4.
Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremiah 48:17.
Now, before we leave Esther, I email Ben Watson, it's always to his wife's address, Esther. So Esther is the London connection here in the modern angelic environment.
In Boston.
Really? How very congenial of you to drag that puffery into this conversation.
Yes.
So the answer to that is not so damn much.
All ye are about him, bemoan him, and all ye that know his name, say, hath the strong staff broken and the beautiful rod.
Is.
Okay, so what does that tell us?
We'll read again.
All ye that are about him, and all ye that know his name, say, how is staff broken and the beautiful rod?
Mm-hmm. Basically saying both are broken. All you big boys that are friendly to Moab, all the friends of Moab, you better get your crying towel because the tears are going to fall. See how that strong scepter is broken and how that beautiful staff is shattered. That's what Jeremiah was trying to tell you.
Is that referring to authority?
Do. Very good.
Are we opened for the person to come back in?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
They've been bouncing in and out by the 20th at a time, Bob, for the last couple of hours. What are you talking about? It's been like a ping-pong match. Ping-pong, ping-pong, ping-pong.
Yeah.
So now we're ready for us some Ezekiel, are we?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And this is a two-parter, so we're going to stay with it. Jenny Bell can get that inflection just perfect.
Okay, Ezekiel 19:11, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had strong rods for the scepters that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches, and she had her height with the multitude of her branches.
Mm-hmm. Do you understand that's the extension of your RNA?
Mm-hmm. I thought branches were DNA. The tree.
Yes, darling, but it takes... They become very strong from RNA.
Okay.
What becomes
strong,
very strong?
The scepter.
The scepter becomes strong.
The branches become so strong, they're strong enough to be the ruler's scepter.
So then Carolyn becomes the new Oprah Winfrey.
Oh. So that
No, this has nothing to do with Carolyn. It's about RNA and DNA.
Cool. Isn't that all about Carolyn?
Yes, Bob, but no, it's about William Irwin Thompson, Bob. It can't be about anything else but your fucking chart. So, no, it's got to be your chart or not at all. Yes, 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 but that's not about what the conversation we're having right this second, baby. We will throw it back to you, but not just this hot second.
Okay, okay.
So it's pointing to the...
Okay, go ahead.
It's pointing to the power... changing within us, like by using the drops, we're going back to our perfection and going back to our state of power. Is that what it's referring to?
Your branches become very strong, so strong you may be the ruler's scepter. You'll also become very tall. You will be towering above all other humans.
Because of the branches of RNA drops.
Right. You'll stand out because of the height and because of the many lush branches.
I did that already when I was in Paris.
Do.
What if you're already tall?
They're all short there.
Mm-hmm.
So the giants in Canaan had the lineage of RNA drop consumption?
They were in the land of... No. They were. They never descended.
Yeah. So, there it is. The giants were people in the yarmulke.
Well, weren't the giants the offspring of the angels that came to Earth Ion? Was that correct?
Well, we didn't even hear what you said.
Oh, weren't the giants the children of
okay.
that made
Okay, skip
it.
Every third word. When you say your third word, don't say that word because it's not coming through. So say two words and then pause and then say the third word in that connective joint. Then say two words and then don't say the third word because we don't get that one either. So then time you get to the sixth word.
Pause.
Get to the sixth word, check to see if it's the first and the third.
Too many numbers.
And then you may get your question answered.
Why is your phone like that, Sasha?
Okay, giants. Angels, children.
Okay. Giants, angels, children. Got that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that was the question, Ian. Let me translate. So were the giants the offspring of a human-angel mating?
No.
So,
they would be known as not as giants. They'd be known as Nephilim.
So was Goliath tall? Was Goliath a giant?
Ion, when you say tall, by we change internally. Are you not saying physically tall? Are you metaphorically like you stand out?
Both.
So like somebody's 5'2" is not 6 feet.
Well, no, he means
both.
Physically.
Both.
The Canaan giants, what, are 7 or 8 feet tall?
Yeah.
So if we,
and you've got, we've
so
had
we can,
humans in our play that grew 3/4 of an inch in a month.
I know, but that's not 3 feet. I'm already 6 feet tall. I don't want to get like 7 feet tall or something.
You will.
That's relative. That's relative to whatever. If everybody turns 9 feet, you'll be a runt. You'll be as tall as Carolyn.
Okay, so this will make us taller physically. And
but
we're not talking just
tower,
from inch or
as you'll tower, you will tower above all the little men. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get taller. It may be that little men getting shorter.
Okay. Hey.
But either way, that's a problem, because if everybody shrinks a foot, then you're back to giant-hood, aren't you?
No, I've been used to tall.
Well, then quit bitching about it.
I'm not bitching about it. I just think I'm tall enough.
Yeah, you're gonna.
I need to be taller.
In the one phase, you're gonna have trouble with the effects of RNA drops. You're gonna say, "Oh no, no, I don't want to go that tall." See, that's the example of what goes on in the one phase, the third phase.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Mm, okay.
And it's all right because you caught it in time. You see. That's better than having a session with us and saying, I've got too much money and everybody hates me and I can't keep my money in the house and the neighbors have reported me for tax evasion because I've got money falling out my windows. They think I'm trying to hide. You see how that goes. You see, it can even bliss can become troublesome if you're not careful.
So you have the image of the ark, and then the Jews, they end up in Egypt, and they come out of Egypt, and they come back to where they started from, encountering themselves in the giant form of where they had left.
So how come the giants let them, how come David can kill a non-fallen person?
Because he'd already whooped the lion, and he'd already whooped the bear. He knew who he was in God. He was known as the one after the very heart of God. He knew who he was. When you know who you are, there's nothing that's outside of your realm of persuasion.
So you can just knock down a non-fallen person? Because you're saying that the giant has never...
They'll bow. That non-fallen person will bow and yield. Because
okay.
You see, the context was they pulled Goliath into the whole problem to be able to take care of this little runt of a crap, because everybody else was running scared shitless. And little David said, "Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me." And he got him a few smooth stones, and he went up there and he said, "I'll do it. I've done whooped a bear. I've done whooped a lion. By God, me or him, one thing to get a whipping." And he said, "Come here, slobber lips. I'm thirsty." Whap! Right between the eyes, and the son of a bitch fell.
But the Goliath,
we are available for Sunday school interpretations for the scriptures. We could turn out church, couldn't we?
So you're saying Goliath fell. He set it up to make the Jews feel powerful, so he willingly took the fall. He faked the fall.
No, we're saying little David took it on.
Why did the ascended giant fall?
Didn't have a choice. It was elfin angel magic, Bob.
So why didn't the ascended person have that material to work with?
Because they the purpose for which they were brought in.
Was to fall. To stage it.
Not that way, though. It's not a staged event. It was an outcome.
Who brought the giant
outcome
in to do that?
The...
What?
The tribe that little David was fighting.
They knew David would topple the Goliath. So were they communicating?
Somebody's got to look up this now. Bob's in it now. Now somebody's going to have to look up the story to see which tribe they was fighting.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the giant, and you said the giants had not fallen.
That giant had not fallen, right?
Well, hold on. When I think of not fallen, I'm thinking you hadn't fallen, hadn't separated themselves, and are still God. So you're speaking of something different when you're saying that the giant had not fallen.
That Goliath, that God, that Goliath was brought in to that kingdom on behalf of a tribe fighting desperately to keep a promised land that was not theirs anymore.
So you're saying that Goliath was a god?
Yes. He was an import.
So even gods were making mistakes. We gave up our power, so that...
Whoa, where's the mistake? They thought it was a good idea.
Well, not once he got killed, it wasn't a good idea.
Well, it just said he was smoked. Didn't say he was slain.
Oh, I thought smoke meant you were dead. So you're telling me you can be smoted but still not slain.
Well,
what
yeah.
What does smoke mean?
Look it up.
Smoke means you was hit in the head, right?
You lay them upside the head. Lay one upside the head.
Okay.
Just strike with a firm blow.
There you go. That's like Mrs. Murdoch in Parliament. She smoked that pie smuggler.
Pie smuggler?
Uh-huh. They tried to, somebody come in and tried to slap a shaving cream in a paper plate in Murdoch's face, and that sister got up and put the whoop ass on the smoker. She put the Lucy off. Lou. She put the Lucy Lou on him.
Yeah, she pounced like a tiger.
That's exactly right. Okay, so now... Are you ready to go on with the second part yet?
No. I'm not done with the...
All right, well, then jump in.
Now, you're saying that that God, that Goliath, this giant, this God, was brought in by a tribe.
We're waiting on somebody to look that up, yes.
And this would obviously be one of the 12
Joyce,
tribes.
Joyce, you can find that if you'll search it from Goliath's tribe.
The tribe of Judah?
No, that was David.
Okay, that was David. So Goliath come from a different tribe?
In the land of Canaan. That's the whole point. Well, we're not telling you nothing. You're going to look it up now. You done got all up in our Kool-Aid, so somebody going to look it up now.
Well, I just want to get...
Goliath was from... Brian, hold on a second. Goliath came out of the Philistine camp.
Oh,
the Philistine. That's exactly right. The Philistines. That's exactly. That's key. That keeps up. That runs all the way through GE Philco. This is an ongoing problematic issuance. The Philistines were the godless ones.
Was the giant godless?
No, they imported him as a giant, just one, to fight the Philistine battle.
He was like a mercenary.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
But whether he was a mercenary or not, you're saying that he was a god.
Yeah.
Now, okay. See.
Who was not intrigued with the Philistines winning this particular battle.
Also, he let himself lay down because he was like, hey, David, you're pretty cool. You can...
No, he walked up. He said, if this little shit is bold enough, thinks he's got testicles enough to take me on, maybe I should just lay it down right here.
Okay. Because it
wouldn't Joyce, that'll follow. Joyce, just a minute. Joyce.
Yeah.
If you follow that all the way through, you'll connect those same Philistines to the Syro-Phoenicians. That's going to be very interesting once upon a midnight dreary.
To the Syro-Phoenicians.
Yes,
yeah, Iron mentions them a lot in reference to the phonetic alphabet.
Do. It's also referenced in the Gutenberg Galaxy as well. Page 136.
So they moved on. They didn't, the the alphabet and all that came after David.
Oh, absolutely.
So Goliath didn't actually let himself get hit. He just did a little.
He got hit. He got smote.
Okay.
He got hit in the head by a rock that David threw, or slung with a sling.
And he just did he lay there like he was dead, or did he kind of brush himself off and say, "Shake David's
hand?" Yeah, and he'd have lived too if they hadn't field dressed him.
What?
And he'd have lived too if they hadn't field dressed him.
What's field dressed mean?
Brian, tell him what you. Gutted him. That's exactly right.
They gutted Goliath?
They certainly did.
They were pissed because he fell down?
No, darling, because he was
like
the only
prize.
Thing standing. Goliath was the only thing standing between them and the promise.
So the Jews gutted Goliath.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Dude, that was a bad day for him. But. Anyway, I guess he's not.
Well, spit happens, honey. Okay,
so
now you ready to do the second part? No, y'all into it now.
Wait,
okay.
Had they created the guff yet?
Yes, darling.
Okay, I just want to make sure Goliath went home to some.
Yeah, and they also had invented Jell-O.
Okay.
Yeah. There's always room for Jell-O.
Okay.
Yeah, smote is strike with a firm blow, or to hit or conquer a people or land.
Okay.
Guess what? Both occurred.
Both.
So, I still can't. God decided that just because little David had some balls, he's going to lay down and he's going to let the Jews field dress him. For what purpose?
He was probably unconscious.
Just how it played out.
Yeah, well,
he done got catching for the wrong team.
So, okay. Well, I don't get that. I don't see God catching for the wrong team.
It doesn't compute.
Look.
Perhaps he wasn't a capital G, capital O, capital D.
Well, we were all gods once, and we all fell. I mean, we all...
Right, but maybe G-O-D, capital G.
Not everyone fell.
Not everyone fell.
Well, yeah, but not everyone, but I mean...
Marians.
All of us that have fallen were once gods. We once had that capacity to
do
everything.
Well, you still are God.
So, but we're in a less than state, whereas you're saying Goliath, we're saying that Goliath was not in a less than state. However, he accepted that. And
I can't even fathom God even playing that little game.
Brian, we play games in every fucking rewrite. You stand back, you listen, you judge, you're a fucking vampire.
What?
You narcoleptic God, you.
Did you say what?
What?
Okay,
so
go
you got to look at the aspect of the context of the story, Brian. What they're trying to show here is that if you have a kingdom that you're trying to defend, and someone's trying to invade you, and that you're nervous because you're questioning their godship, if you go borrow a god, it may not turn out well for you. This is not about Goliath. This is about the Philistines.
Oh.
And they didn't God, and they weren't God. They were little men, right?
Okay. That's correct. Now, here we go. Now, let's say you're a god, Brian, And let's say Rejoice gets crossed up with something, and she's not quite positive of her place of power, and she calls you to come be the Goliath in her storm. Well, in the midst of that storm, you may just say, hey, this ain't my fucking fight. And you may slip out into the creases or slip out of that conversation. Now, that is something that is a potential a god might decide to do, isn't it?
So are you saying that was Goliath's...
modus operandi, yes.
Okay.
But the story is not about Goliath. The story is about David whooping the Philistines, and he's just a little runt and ain't big as a drink of water and ends up whooping the entire Philistine kingdom. And he did that because of a promise from God.
A promise from
the Jewish gods that they had separated themselves from. See, the Jewish tribes had to deal with Yahweh. They couldn't even say the name of God.
Uh-huh.
So, you see, that adds even another Agatha Christie layer to this plot.
So was David a god? I mean, was he, or he was not?
It says he was a man after the very heart of God. But you remember, he wasn't ballsy enough. He was ballsy enough to whoop Goliath, but he wasn't ballsy enough to get the shoe bread.
Mm. What shoe bread?
Any?
Huh?
Well. Jenny, tell him what shoe bread is.
Oh,
she's got another half of scripture. Yeah, she may have said, hell yo.
No.
she could.
I did switch phones, so if somebody could look up Ezekiel 19:14, that'd be good. But
I have it.
Okay. But the shoe bread is the bread that was prepared, that was laid at the altar, that was for the priests and the kings and the royalty, and not for the little man.
It was for sacrifice for God.
Oh, for sacrifice.
And
for God.
He felt unworthy to take it when it was offered to him, or?
It wasn't offered to him. He was telling the priest, we hungry. I'm King David. By God, give me that bread. And then they said, whoop. You got the knife, you got the sword, come take it. And he played crazy, played like a lunatic, and said, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
It's outside of my dynamic.
Okay.
Hey, Virginia.
Yeah, Brian.
So, give me your take on this David Goliath thing with...
I mean, what Ion said was spot on. I mean, the Philistines were the ones who were trying to get somebody who they thought was big enough to defeat the one who represented the God, Yahweh. And they had Goliath do their dirty work for them. And at the end, it wasn't big enough because David was bigger than Goliath because of the confidence that he had in his relationship with Yahweh.
Well,
hold on just a second. You're asking for my take. And my take is that even in the days when I was in ministry and I was still calling on the God of, you know, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus Christ.
Ancient of Days.
The Ancient of Days, it didn't preclude me from experiencing tremendous benefits from that relationship. It just wasn't the biggest possibility because it was still outside of my place of power. But there is power there. So it's not like, you know, he was just pissing in the wind or anything. I mean, he had an authentic relationship with what he knew to be an outer world, a God that was outside of him. And he called on that, and that responded. Does that make sense?
Now, who called on what? David.
David knew who he was. In the biblical way, if I were preaching this, I would say David knew who he was in Christ. He just didn't know he was Christ.
Oh, okay, so David knew who he was, so what was that? What was it that David knew that he was?
He knew that.
His power, his individual power. He said nobody would face Goliath. They get into all the big dicks and said, who's going to take on Goliath? It's a one-on-one. It's the WWE. It's a SmackDown. Whoever wins this wins the kingdom. Come on, boys. We need our biggest, our brightest. We need somebody. We need Jake the Snake to come in here and whoop that Goliath. And everybody bowed their head and said, ain't none of me. Well, little David heard this carried on, and he's a little bitty scrawny runt. I mean nothing. And he come in here, he said, Lord, send me. Send me. I'll go. I've done whooped the lion. I've done whooped the bear. He had confidence in who he was. So much so to the point that with God's help, Goliath was nothing but a beatdown.
Right.
With God's help, but God was Goliath.
And that's exactly correct. That's why David was known as the one after the very heart of God.
He was a Jack Bauer type.
So what happened with David's, what happened with David not getting back to God? Where did he go wrong then?
Well, that's a whole nother sermon.
Yeah, he didn't have access to the shoebread until the White Stone was named.
Good. And then he got tangled up, got drunk on his own liquor, and then that turned problematic. And then it just goes on with Bathsheba and then Absalom, and there's just all kinds of issues that sprouted from that conditioned response.
So he was after the heart of God. He had the confidence. He was in his power, yet he still sabotaged himself with these
thinking.
Other things. With what?
Thinking.
Oh, so his labyrinth fucked him over.
Yeah, he caught it in the butt. That's right.
Okay.
Boy, that'd make an interesting mess, wouldn't it? How King David caught it in the ass. Psalms 111.
So if King David would would have never mind,
that's you could say the same thing about Moses. I mean, that's one of the values.
Right.
Say the same thing about you.
I get that from Moses. I mean, Moses, you know, he's like, that was clear to me with Moses about, okay, he didn't feel worthy because he considered himself a murderer. Okay, I get that, but with this whole David thing, it just wasn't adding up. But
well, fuck David. What about you? That's the point. The reason the recording was recorded in the recording that was provided that's recorded, so it is written, so it is done, the reason that is was to give you the capacity now, right here, right now, to embrace that same ideological position that can allow you to go, well, you know, that's exactly right. That's interesting. Let me go at it this way, or let me see about that way. And then it goes and goes and goes, and all of a sudden, after a little while, you go, well, yeah, exactly. And that same confidence and that place of power that you have already,
right,
that then becomes your very own. Well, once it becomes your very own, then now we're having a different conversation, you see, baby. And that's the point. That's what that's about.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I get that, but the profound thing for me that just happened was the whole, with David, was the labyrinth of his mind fucking him out of his throne.
That's exactly right. And then it even went generational from the aspect that it even had a negative effect or affect even to his whole family and lineage. Didn't much happen after him. You got Hosea that did all right, but then you can come on down into the last rounds when they start becoming money collectors.
And that's exactly what happened to Jack Bauer. And Chloe becomes the righteous thing. Don't laugh. I met Jack Bauer. I know Jack Bauer. He's a friend of mine. I went to school with him, for fuck's sake. Guy's thinking a TV show.
Who are you talking about, Bob? Jack Bauer
happened. That's what happened to Peter Potter.
Peter Paul.
No, Peter Potter, as in
Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. We call
I haven't seen the last movie. Don't tell me about that.
Oh, shit.
The End, it's called, or something.
The End.
Okay, so, yeah, no, Jack Bauer, he had it all. He smote everybody, and then he got carried away. And he got screwed up, and I kicked him off the softball team, and it was all downhill.
And Connie gutted that fucker where he failed, right there.
Yeah, Connie was the vengeance of Nina. Connie came back as Nina and nailed him.
Cool.
Or what's her name? Who's the president?
Allison Taylor. Wash them hands, Bob.
I've been mowing the fucking lawn, okay?
I go, that's ridiculous. I wish you'd go on mute when you got to wash them nasty hands. It's so distracting. I don't know why we got to put... Hey, you
there ain't no water happening. There's no water happening. Prove it. I don't hear any water.
We can send children to come scream in your house, too. That'd be fun.
Yeah, just try it.
And fire has gone out of
just
the wrong.
Try that. Just try that.
Should we go to 14?
We're ready for 1914, whenever you are.
Okay. And fire has gone out of a rod of her branches, which have her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lesson and shall be for a lamentation.
Mm-hmm. So now we'll sort of get with that. What's being said here? There's a fire, fire, fire. What's the number to 911? There's a fire. It's come from its branches and it's burnt up all the fruit. None of the remaining branches are strong enough to be the ruler's scepter. You can't get enough. This power that we've separated ourselves from is not holding. The veil will no longer hold. This outside scepter won't do it no more. Y'all get up a big, pretty funeral song, because now it's the time for the... We would say this appropriately. Joyce, we would use this word appropriately. It's time for the goddamned funeral. Those damned ones, it's time for their funeral. Ezekiel was saying that way back yonder. That Wall Street, the scepter won't hold. The commodities won't hold. The roastneers won't be enough. It's got to where now poor even Haynes Company can't do business because of the price of cotton.
Is the fire, could that be, oh, well, no, I guess it could be a lot of things.
We didn't start the fire. but the world's been burning since the world's been turning, but we didn't start.
So,
oh, sorry, sorry. That's
the ones that are going to survive are the ones that are engaging ascension, but that seems to be very few. It doesn't seem to be like two-thirds of the planet.
Jeannie Bale, say the sentence.
Which one?
Many are
called and few are chosen.
There you go. Many are called. Everybody has the opportunity. Margarita Tate is straight out. She's sitting up there in the liquor bar watching them drink. It's great fun. Just sort of chilling and watching them roll around. It's fun. But see, she'll tell you, the elect one, many are called. Everybody has the opportunity. Whosoever will. But now, if some will, some won't, we say, so what? It's been pretty clearly laid out. Them that get it, get it. Them that don't, don't. Good. Next, move on. Well, that's the point. There's never a huge crowd on the leading edge of creation. But that doesn't mean that that's a limitation. That's just compounding your statement that says there doesn't seem to be a hog trough full of ascending ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are many. We're not saying that. But it won't be these millions and millions and millions that you're referring to.
Yeah, Marguerite is looking at all the sinning going on in the bar, saying not one of these people could handle Ion. Not one.
I moved to the pool area now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, they done got rough on you, huh? They done.
I got too much smoke inside the bar, so I just came to the pool area because it's refreshing, and I just
That's right. That is Texas. They'll let you smoke tobacco in the house. That's amazing.
Yes, yes. But over here at the pool, it's calmer than inside. I just came in outside, so I can hear better because I couldn't hear over there with all the noise. So
of course,
but there's still sinning going on around the pool, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
Or no,
yeah.
10:30 at night.
Well, heaven's just a sin away. It's all right.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
That's what Sue sees every week, every 2 weeks. She goes watching the sin in some city.
Oh, you gonna make Sue tell us about the Mile High Club?
Yes.
Yeah.
She could.
Do Matthew 20:39.
Were y'all through with that?
This is not a valid ring option.
We aren't suggesting. We're just making sure.
Well, I think I have it. It's time
no,
to
no,
go
no,
on.
No, no, no. See, maybe. It don't count till Brian gets it. Brian, you got it?
What's the it?
The scepter
that you hanging on to, not you personally, but the scepter that humans are holding on to, it's losing its power. It's not strong enough to stand. The world systems are no longer able to chide the human creators. No longer can mammon rule a god. No more.
No longer can... Mammon?
Yep.
Mammoth. Oh, mammoth.
No, not mammoth. What's mammon?
What? Money.
Oh, money?
So, mammon. With the, in the line, in the Palm of Victory, with the throne, the crown, the scepter, and the white stone, was that referencing one who's embraced all of those, either degrees of aspirations.
No. You tangled. Just don't choke. Just don't. You're doing
all
good.
Right.
Just a second. You got the words to the palms of victory, do you not?
Yeah.
Yes, read
they do.
Read the lyrics, because you're shaking them off the rafters pretty fast, baby.
All right. Hold on 2 seconds.
Time's up.
Fine. All right, I've got it here.
What
do you want the whole?
Second.
Do you want the whole one? This is the Bloodwash Pilgrim variation. Do you want the whole thing?
We just want the song.
All right. Saw a blood-washed pilgrim, a sinner saved by grace, upon the king's way with peaceful shining face. Temptation sore beset him, but nothing could affright. He said, the yoke is easy, the burden, it is light. Arms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall swear. His salvation, a simple faith his shield, and righteousness his breastplate, the spirit's sword he'd wield. All fiery darts arrested, quenched their blazing flight. He cried, the yoke is easy, the burden light. I saw him in the furnace, he doubted not nor feared, and in the beside him the Son of God appeared. Though 7 times 'twas heated, all the tempter's might, he cried, the yoke is easy, the burden it is. Mid storms and clouds and trials, in prison at the stake, he led joy, rejoicing, 'twas all for Jesus' sake. That God should count him with such supreme delight, he cried, the yoke is easy, the burden is so light. I saw him overcoming through all the swelling strife, until he crossed the threshold of God's eternal life. The crown, the throne, the scepter, the name, the sin so white, were his who found in Jesus the yoke and burden light.
All right. Now you want to hear it?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, Ian, go ahead.
Is it those lyrics there that she just read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian, were you going to comment on it, or what was it? Here we go.
I saw a born traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was heavy laden, his strength was almost gone, but he shouted as he journeyed,
talk.